Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
The Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Oh boy. That's loud. Checking in at
number 5.
Thank you, Orion. All right, now, during the confirmation hearing today before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Dick Durbin grilled Supreme Court Justice nominee
Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch.
Or that.
Hold on.
Neil Gorsuch.
There we go.
Gorsuch.
I like that. I like that. Because he is. Because he is gorgeous. Or
Gorsuch.
Just gorgeous. It's kind of like righteous and gorgeous together.
Yes. Gorgeous. Is it Gorsuch?
Gorsuch, I thought we were going with.
Yes. Gorsuch. But unless you are the... And that is Chuck Grassley. He's the actual chairman of the committee that is hearing this, and he can't pronounce the guy's name right.
Gorsuch.
He needs to just settle it once for all. Judge Gorsuch or Sick or whatever it is.
Gorsuch.
Or that.
All right. Here we go. Maybe it's like gorgeous because he's a good-looking man. All right, here we go. During the hearing today, one way or the other, there was grilling by Dick Durbin over a controversial letter that was penned by one of Gorsuch's former students at the University of Colorado Law School.
Did you ask your students in class that day to raise their hands if they knew of a woman who had taken maternity benefits from a company and then left the company after having a baby?
No, Senator, and I'd be delighted to actually clear this up.
Please.
Because the first I heard of this was the night before my confirmation hearing.
Now, Jennifer Sisk insists that her former professor made some disturbing statements regarding his feelings about maternity leave and how women might manipulate leave and then ditch their jobs.
There is one problem in the book, and I'd be happy to share with you the book and the teacher's manual so you can see for yourself, Senator, which asks the question, and it's directed to young women, because sadly this is a reality they sometimes face. The problem is this. Suppose an older partner woman at the firm that you're interviewing at asks you, if you intend to become pregnant soon, what are your choices as a young person? You can say yes, tell the truth, the hypothetical is that it's true, and not get the job and not be able to pay your debts. You can lie, maybe get the job. You can say no. That's a choice, too. It's a hard choice. Or you can push back in some way, shape, or form. And we talk about the pros and the cons in a Socratic dialogue so that they can think through for themselves how they might answer that very difficult question.
I think that was Chuck Grassley in the background having.
So that's the problem. He's got something caught in his throat. That's why he said it that way.
Gorgeous.
That way, see?
Yeah.
That's how it comes out. Got something caught in the throat.
Yeah. That was an excellent answer to that.
It was. I thought he really took that one, and it was a talking point amongst those who are critical of this nomination, and he turned it around to talk about how shocked he is, how many young women raise their hands in his class when he asks about if they get asked questions about family planning in a job setting, and he talked about how that is inappropriate.
All right. There's one more, right? Oh. Is there one more cut? Okay.
And Senator, I do ask for a show of hands, not about the question you asked, but about the following question. And I ask it of everybody. How many of you have had questions like this asked of you in the employment environment? An inappropriate question about your family planning. And I am shocked every year, Senator, how many young women raise their hand. It's disturbing to me.
Well, he sounded in touch with that answer, I felt.
Totally.
It didn't seem to be, it was sort of mischaracterized by the way, what you thought going into it, what the answer might have been. So I thought he handled that very well.
Yeah, right. And he's not awkward. I mean, this is the funny thing. There have been so many, and I'm fascinated, okay? I mean, call me a geek, call me a goof, whatever it is.
You're watching but these.
I love Supreme Court Judiciary Committee hearings. I love it because you get to understand more about how the Supreme Court operates and how important it is as the third and a very important branch of government, co-equal branch of government. And you get to hear these lawyers actually, because most of the people on that committee, if not all of them, are lawyers. And then, you know, you've got obviously the people who are going up to be Supreme Court justices in the main are pretty smart people and pretty interesting and studied, thoughtful jurists.
No question.
And so it's a very, very interesting dialogue that they have. And they talk about really, and I'm not a lawyer or anything, but they talk about these unique things. And it's an excellent mental exercise to watch these guys work. And this guy is very impressive, but he's not a geek. You know, a lot of these people are just kind of, you know, geeky.
You're hard to relate to.
Very geeky, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the, you know, the others, they're sort of like, well, you know, Senator, thank you very much for asking. But if you can remember, in Marlboro versus Madison, there was a Marbury, what was his name? There was this one codicil. And then they go into like this whole kind of thing. And
sure.
And he makes it very understandable.
Human.
And what he talked about there, which was – and that was a head-turning moment, I think, for a lot of people who are watching this, which is that he said, listen, I was teaching a class and I wanted to have a dialogue looking at this from all angles, from the four corners of this particular issue. And it was – and so you're going to have a Socratic dialogue where you're going to challenge this, because if you want people to really think and you want lawyers and judges to think about things – and he's very fascinating. He's like Jimmy Stewart. I mean, I don't know how he's going to rule. We never know how any of these people are going to rule. We just don't. You just have to, you know, based on what their rulings have been and their temperament and all that. And they were asking about, you know, his sides with company, with corporations as opposed to people. He had a whole list of times where he went with the underdog. So,
And that was one of the other tests that a lot of the Democratic senators were trying to press him on. Are you ruling only for corporations over the little guy, or do you also care about the little guy? And a lot of his answers. Right. Talked about his opinions where he did, in fact, rule in favor of the little guy.
And it turns out that he is got these beautiful eyes and he's
gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And that's why Senator Ted Cruz was just gazing at him lovingly.
That was a little odd.
Did you notice that?
We'll talk about that on the other side. All right. checking in at
number four.
Oh, how the tables have turned. Now it's Schwarzenegger's turn calling out the president for his low approval ratings. The governor shared this video after a new Gallup poll placed the president's approval rating at an all-time low.
Oh, Donald, the ratings are in, and you got swamped. Wow. Now you're in the 30s? But what do you expect? I mean, when you take away after-school programs from children and Meals on Wheels from the poor people, that's not what you call making America great again. Come on. I mean, who is advising you? Let me give you some advice. Go to a middle school, the Hart Middle School, right in Washington, 6 miles away from the White House. I take you there so you can see the fantastic work that they're doing for these children. Let's do it, huh?
Yeah, I like this. They're going to take away some Meals and Wheels and this and that.
this won't die. This is going to keep going on.
Oh, my God. He's
going
to troll him. Although, you know what? I mean, the president is a troll. He's an internet troll. There's no two ways around it. That's just a fact. And so now he's getting trolled by another guy who he trolled. It is actually very impressive what he's done here.
Troll Fest 2017.
I got some meals and I got some wheels. I'll tell you what, we'll get my wheels and we're going to go to the meals and the wheels and to this and to that. And we'll go to the high school and to the middle school and we're going to go show them eating the with the little lunch boxes. Mit the little lunch boxes. All right. Well, he speaks better English than I do German. So that
sure
works out.
Does.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to your 3, your 2, and 1. But first, Violetta Powdermatic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Oh, man.
Top 5 at 5.
Checking in at
number 3.
All right. During his monologue last night, Jimmy Kimmel joked about the first day of spring.
Is officially the first day of spring. This is that magical time of the year when an old season of The Bachelor gives way to a new season of the Dancing with the Stars, and we couldn't be happier. This morning, President Trump woke up. He tweeted from the toilet, which means we get 6 more weeks.
That's how it's determined now.
That's true. It's 6:30 in the morning. What are you doing at 6:30? You know, he's either in bed or on the head, right? I mean, that's basically, and I got to tell you something. That's generally where I do my best work. Mm-hmm. If you receive, if I post something on social media or you receive a text, it is often from the toilet.
Oh, we didn't need that visual, Ro. I'm sorry.
Definitely if you ignore the phone call right after the text.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you get like straight to voicemail, if it's like a half a ring and the straight to voicemail, that's what's going on.
Or if you call and it's like, hello, and then you're immediately put on mute.
Who's trying to FaceTime me right now?
or if you call and all of a sudden, hey, I can't talk right now.
No, I'm not in the bathroom.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's hard to hide that somehow.
The dead giveaway is the toilet flushing.
Yeah, that's always a bad.
And you're like,
dang,
I didn't put it on mute. Does mute them or me? I always get confused.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. All right, anyway. Then he joked about where does the president actually get his information?
So this means the FBI and the Justice Department have no evidence to support Trump's story. So that means Donald Trump really did just see something on Fox News, assumed it was true, and ran with it. I turned on Fox News this afternoon. After 3 minutes of watching, I saw a commercial for a walk-in bathtub and lemon pepper tuna in a pouch. So...
You'll see
that. That is that unfortunately is true because there is still a little bit of prepper going on there. You know, in case you want to get ready because now that Donald. Although, do you know what's interesting? Do you realize that actually gun sales have gone down since Donald Trump has become president?
That is odd.
Yeah.
You might suspect the other way around.
Except amongst anti-NRA liberals who have now gone out and bought as many guns as they possibly can. All right, checking in at
number two.
Baseball season's underway.
Oh, boy. Look at this.
Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
This is from Dancing with the Stars. Grandpa Rossi, retired Cub, scored a home run last night. This
outperformed expectations.
Completely surprising.
Totally.
Lindsay Arnold. That's right. So true. So sad. Actually, he's from Chicago. I'm surprised he wasn't shot during the dance floor routine.
Just even appearing in a Cubs uniform. He was good.
He was baseball themed, and it was hard not to be excited about the World Series run.
So you just retired.
I just retired. My last official at bat was a home run, Game 7 of the World Series.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I would have had a victory dance after the World Series, but my teammates carried me off the field.
That is pretty insane.
It's a lot of pressure. There's some good dancers out there in Major League Baseball.
Are there?
Yeah.
Well,
and
you're
I'm not
show
one
them
of them. I think what was going through Lindsay's mind is who is this old guy I got to dance with? The one little bit of dance experience I have is trying to grind up on my wife when we were in high school.
Racy. See, I think his whole thing, oh, I'm not a good dancer, I'm not a good dancer. He really did well, outperformed expectations.
But I almost couldn't get past the costumes.
Because it was his Cubs uniform?
His uniform.
They were bedazzled, Judy.
Were they?
That's what happens on
hers wasn't
the
bad. His was kind of weird because it was a uniform.
Yeah. I just want to say that it is very surprising. You know where he learned all that from? All the Dominican players because they're the dancers.
I'm sure, right? That's... sort of racist. All right. Mr. T did not do very well, though. And you were saying
opposite.
You thought that he was going to...
It's the opposite.
Yes.
I know.
A lot of charisma, not many skills, turns out.
Yeah. Well, I still think he probably makes it a couple... Now, this just tells you. What do I know? But I think he makes it a couple of weeks because he's...
Right. It's fun to watch. Yeah,
he's fun to watch.
In his bedazzled camouflage costume. Very nice.
And then Simone Biles?
She's going to win it all. I just said that already. It's just, it's not even fair she's on it.
All right. And finally,
number one.
Jam.
Jerry Krause, the architect of the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 1990s, has died. After taking over as the Bulls general manager in 1985, he led the team to 6 championships. He hired Phil Jackson from the CBA. And then he made him the full head coach after firing Doug Collins.
Fear the bird.
This is about Jerry Krause.
Sorry.
What's Taft High School's
Taft mascot? High School's mascot?
We'll just go with Fear the Taft.
Taft. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was very proud of being from Taft, and he played on the baseball team, we found out, it turns out.
There's a photo in Forest there now, so slow down.
Thank you.
It's the Wildcats.
The Wildcats. Go,
go
Cats.
Go Taft Cats.
Go Cats.
Oh, man. Anyway, back to poor Jerry Krause. He long suffering. They made fun of him when he was alive. I don't want to make fun of him now. I mean, this is an important moment.
Back to the bull.
Yeah, here we go.
That's the mascot.
So back in 2009, Krause was on WGN radio, and he said that Michael didn't always agree on who to bring to the Bulls.
There were decisions that had to be made, and some of them obviously were highly talked about in the media, but in the end it came out extremely well, and we were fortunate to win championships and to do it in a manner that we played the game the right way. I think one of the things that that people can say is we played the game the way it should have been played.
Yeah, that's true. So after he left the Bulls, he went on to become a baseball scout. And he worked for the Sox. He worked for the Mets, the Yankees as well. And he was also with the Diamondbacks, I guess. That was his last official job in 2011. He's a finalist this year for induction in the Basketball Hall of Fame as a contributor. Right? I mean, they do that, I guess, for general managers and other types. In his final interview in February with a company called The Vertical, he had this take on Michael Jordan.
There are very, very few people that I've ever known who had a drive in them like Michael had. And Michael also was, the arrogance that he carried with him was a plus, because he knew that he could do things that other people couldn't do. And it was a difference between us. But I will say one thing for Michael Jordan, and I'll, to this day and forever, he never came to me and asked for other players. He never came to me and asked me to draft a player. He never came to me and asked me to trade for a player. Never once did that happen. Part of it was he thought he was so darn good he could win without him.
Yeah, it's amazingly graceful, I think, and gracious of Jerry Krause there, because obviously he did not get along particularly well with Michael Jordan. That was sort of a storyline of the 1990s. But, you know, sometimes in great institutions like that, the principals don't always have to get along. They just have to get along well enough to win, and that's what they did. That's what they did. Jerry Krause was 77.
The top five at five.